Well, good morning, family. It is great to see you this morning. Hey, if you're new with us, my name is Pastor Jeremy. I serve as the lead pastor here at the church for about 2 months now. And God is molding us and changing us. And I mean this in a good way. You've been hearing me talk a lot about change and stepping into the unknown and trusting God in the unfaithful. And the past 2 weeks, we talked about these guardrails that God puts in our life to help keep us inside, not to keep us trapped, but actually to protect us, to actually keep us in line with what is going to benefit us, not harm us. Well, I had another one that I was going to do. And I got an opportunity to go to Sacramento, California this week, where I got to meet with Dr. Sam Huddleston and some of our assistant superintendents, Dr. Sam. Pastor Brett is our superintendent. I got to meet with him. And what they do is, if you don't know me yet, I'm not a new pastor, but I'm a new lead pastor. And what that looks like is not what it looked like when I was just a staff pastor. And so I'm learning. And so what our district does is they have this amazing class for new lead pastors that we go over there and we get to talk about those things and they train us up. I met Pastor Brett and he's an amazing man of God and he is a leader of leaders. His passion, his goal is to take pastors, especially newer pastors, take them and disciple them and grow them up to be the men and women that he's called them to be. That's his passion. That's what he loves to do. And so I got to spend some time with him. They are an amazing, amazing group of people. But at the end of this whole little two-day retreat that I got to go on, God changed my mind on my sermon. So I got back Thursday evening. I was in here at 7 a.m. in the morning rewriting an entire sermon. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever tried to prepare a sermon before, but it takes a while. It takes a while, but God was in it. God was in it, and he allowed me to do it, and I'm really excited about it. And he kind of drew me to this new thing. It's called the Next Right Thing. And what that looks like is, what do we do in the times when uncertainty happens? How do we step out in faith? Have you stepped out in faith? Have you watched somebody else in your life step out in faith that would actually encourage you to be like, wait a minute, God was in that moment. God, can I trust you a little bit more like that person? Can I step into the unknown knowing that you've got my back? Knowing that you have a better plan than I do? I don't know about you, but I struggle with that sometimes. So we're going to learn and talk, and we're going to actually use the next 4 weeks we're going to be on this topic. And we're going to take four characters out of the Bible. We're going to use, you would know him as Abraham, but we're going to talk about Abram before his name was changed to Abraham, before God changed it. We're going to talk about Joseph. I love Joseph because what a man of integrity. Doing the right thing when it wasn't about doing what benefited him. It was about doing what was supposed to be done, the right thing. And it's so much persecution that he had to go through. We're going to talk about Philip, one of the disciples. We'll talk about him. You're like, Philip, well, he's kind of short in the Bible. Well, he's pretty important. He's in the Bible, right? He made it into the words of God. In our word. And we're going to talk about Mary and Joseph that final week. Because can you imagine somebody coming to say, you're a virgin and you're going to be pregnant, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to raise up the Son of God? How uncertain and scary does that sound? Ladies. Yeah, I won't go there. Ladies. And so, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. So, you know, I've had people a person come up to me and say, well, why do you use your tablet to preach from? Well, because I used to preach from paper, and then I had to get glasses. And then, we paid a bunch of money for the progressives. That did not work. And as you can tell, I like to walk around on the stage and look at people and see people. And so my pastor, mentor said, hey, you try it from a tablet. You can put your notes on there and you don't even have to always look at them because they're right in front of your face and you're not bending over looking. So because I can't see is why I do it. Make sense? It works for me. So it was a game changer, wasn't it, money? Trying to preach from paper notes when I can't even read my handwriting half the time. Now I can type it out and see what I want to do, what God's telling me to do. So let me ask you guys all something. Have you ever stood on the edge of a decision that is so big, so uncertain, so overwhelming that you couldn't even see the other side? Frozen because you didn't know what to do. Maybe it was a career change. Maybe it was a family decision, a financial leap of faith. Kind of going through that right now. I want a side-by-side. But no, the wife's not going to just give in to that one. God, where you lead, you provide, right? Or where you... There could be something so deeply personal that nobody else would even understand what you're going through. But you could feel God nudging you. He was pushing you just a little bit, pushing you out of your comfort zone. But all you could see ahead was the unknown. If you've ever been there, let me tell you, you're not alone. I am telling you, you are not alone. You are in good company here with me. And a lot of us. My wife and I just packed everything that we owned, left really good jobs, and moved halfway across the country not knowing what would happen. But trusting. Oh, and I had to convince her to do this. God's saying, you're going, but I have to convince her that this is what we're going to do. And as the spiritual leader of the house, we pray about it. We come visit. We meet people, great people. And we stepped out in faith, in uncertainty. So I get it. You know, I'm going to even say it this way. I have found that if I'm comfortable, I got to ask myself if God's really using me. Because God doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to step out in faith. We left good friends, family, good jobs for something that we knew nothing about. We've been here once to Overton, once. And I tell you what, when I came here that first time and I preached, I'm going to tell you what we did. We got in the car. I looked at my wife. I go, so what do you think? She says, I love it. When she said that, I knew. That was God speaking through her to me saying, it's time to step out in faith. I can give you all the reasons not to do it. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Abram. We're going to use the name Abram, which is who we know is one of the patriarchs. He is Abraham, but in this context is Abram. He would become Abraham, the father of our faith. He is the example that God has given us to learn to step out in faith. And I can't even break down all the things that he's done between his son and all of these things. We're just going to tap into one little part of scripture. Well, it's not super little, but it's little. And we all have heard it. If you have your Bibles, because we're a Bible-believing church, amen. Genesis 12:1 is where we will start. And it says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, and the Lord, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out to Haran. Father, I pray today that you would speak to us in a new way. Help us unpack this part of Scripture. Help us to be transformed by it. Not that we wouldn't just listen, but we would hear it and we would act on it, and it would change us so that we can be more like you, so that we can have your purpose, your plans, and your love in our life, not our own. So give it to us in a brand new way. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. So God didn't give, here's the point, God didn't give Abraham the map. He didn't give him the map. He didn't pull out his phone and put the GPS coordinates of where he was going to go. No. Five-step plan. I like to do that. I actually have a six-month plan on my computer I've been working on. But I also know my plan's not God's plan. And I'm learning that. And I give God freedom to take that plan that I'm setting for my boundaries to do whatever he wants with it. If he wants to take it and change something with it, I give him permission to do so. But it's not bad to have a plan, right? He didn't have any details of the land he was even going to, what he would face along the way. No, he just said, go. He said, go to the land I will show you. That's scary. Which direction do I go? Do I go north, east, south, west? He had no idea what to do. How many of us would have hit the pause button right there? We would say, hold up, God. Hold up for a second. Can I at least get a picture? Does it have grass and water? Does it have mountains? Can you show me where I'm supposed to go? Give me the destination. Could you give me the pros and cons list before I make this decision? You all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. You want me to leave everything I know, everything that feels safe and predictable? And for what? And for what? A promise that I can't even see? Abram's story teaches us something powerful. Following God's call doesn't start with seeing the whole picture. It starts with doing the next right thing. One step at a time, one day at a time. We talked about worry. Don't worry about tomorrow because you have no clue what tomorrow is going to bring. One day, one right step in the right direction at a time. And here's the crazy thing about this whole moment. God promises Abram, he promised that his life was going to change because of this. He promises to make him a great nation, to bless him, to make his name great, and to bless all the people on earth through him. I don't know about you, but if God was telling me that, I would run. You're going to do this? What are you going to do with me? That would be my question. What are you going to do with me? I'm scared now. But none of this also happened overnight. We're talking years of stuff. Abram had to leave before he could receive. He had to trust before he could triumph. He had to step into the unknown before he could step into the promise. And that's where we find ourselves today. Maybe you're standing on the edge of the unknown, a decision, a calling, a new beginning. My question for you is, will you trust God enough to take that first step? Even when you can't see the whole map. I like maps. I used a map to get here from Illinois. I need a map. So I'm preaching to myself as I always do every week. And I hope I'm preaching to you. Here's a truth that I need you to hear this morning. God is faithful, even in the middle of your uncertainty. Even in your unbelief, He is faithful. He didn't abandon Abram, and He's not going to abandon you. So today, as we dive into Abram's story again, I want to challenge you to lean into this. Because the God who called Abraham out of the familiar is the same God who's calling you today. This isn't something that happened thousands of years ago. He's still calling people today. He hasn't gave up on us. He hasn't stopped using us. He continues to use us. Will you say yes? He's not asking for a perfect faith, just obedient faith. He doesn't ask you to figure it all out. He just says, take the first, next, right step. Are you guys ready to step into the unknown? Ready to unpack this? Let's journey this together. The invitation to step into the unknown. Genesis 2:1, we're going to break this down. Go from your country, go from your home, go from your country, go from the people that you know, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. The invitation. It always starts with an invitation. God's radical call to Abraham was an invitation. When God says go, He didn't just ask Abram to change his address. He asked Abram to leave his comfort zone, his security, and everything that was familiar to him. He's saying, step out of what you know into what I've prepared. God's saying, step out of everything that makes you comfortable because I got something better for you. And I know from experience, this is terrifying. Just think about it. What if God said, I have a call in your life. I'm going to change you, Francis, and I want you to go over here, and I want you to plant a church. I want you to disciple these people. Or maybe I want you, Heather, to go over here. I want you to open a food bank, and I want you to serve the people that don't have money and can't afford food. Would you do it? Could you do it? All you got to do is say yes, and He'll provide in faith. Because we know we don't do the work. He does the work through us. So think about it. We love control, though. Nobody else? Oh, I could burst your bubble real fast. We all love control. We love to see the plan, to read the reviews. Who's a review reader? Oh, yeah, we got some review readers. I'm learning to, because when I don't do it, I walk into the place I don't want to go into, restaurants. Check those reviews. We love to see the plan. We love the reviews. We love to know the outcome before we commit to it. Am I talking to you guys today? Are you feeling this? Man, I'm convicted just preaching it. But God doesn't hand out a blueprint. He doesn't hand it out to Abram. Instead, He gives him a promise. He says, do this and I promise this. It's a promise that's at the other end of this. And I don't know about you, but God's promises are yes and amen. This is the essence of our faith. God said to Abram, go to the land and I will show you. Not here's a map, not here's how it's all going to work out. He's saying, trust me to guide you. God's saying, just trust me to guide you. When you're driving at night, everything around you is pitch black. You turn on your headlights, you can see 100 feet in front of you. And you trust it, and you keep moving ahead. You trust what's right in front of you. That's how God's calling works in our life. He gives us just enough light to take the next step. I know from experience that when I know what God's going to do, all I do is mess it up. I get in the way. Because I think I know what's better than God sometimes, being honest with you. And so if he were to unpack the whole plan from the day that I gave my life to him until today as I stand up here and preach to you today, I would have ran away from all the stuff that God has done in my life because it was scary. Not in a bad way. Blessings, goodness, faithfulness. I've watched him. My mind could not unpack everything that he was going to do in my life if he would have gave it to me at the beginning. Now, I don't want you to miss this. It just isn't about our obedience. It is about God's promise. We act in obedience, but there's still a promise on the other side of obedience. Genesis 12, 2, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. But Abraham had to get up in faith and walk out, take that step. God isn't just calling Abraham out of something. He's calling him into something better. God always pairs his commands with promises. If there's a command, there's a promise. I can think of one right off the top of my head. My favorite verse, Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, therefore go make disciples of all nations. It's a command. And he goes, and I will be with you to the end of the age. You do this and I'm with you. You're not alone in this. God always pairs his commands with a promise. He doesn't say leave for nothing. He's not telling Abram just leave for nothing. He's saying leave and I'll bless you. If you leave, I'll bless you. And here is where our theology meets life. Faith doesn't come with guarantees about your circumstances. It comes with the confidence in the God's character that he's with you. The promise is often in the process. You won't get the promise until you step out in obedience and trust the process. Abraham didn't see the fulfillment of God's promise the moment he packed his bags and took off. He had to walk through the unknown. He had to step by step, believing that God was working even when he couldn't even see it. Here's the question, though. What is God asking you to leave behind so that you can step into what he is preparing for you? We like to hear stories about God doing something through other people, and God does this through that person. God's doing something through Abraham. You need to hear this. God wants to do something through you, through you, through you, through you, all of you. He has something for you personally. Sometimes it's easy to look out and be like, oh man, look at what God's doing in their life. Look what he's done over there. No. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're in relationship with him, he wants to do something with you. Not show you all the cool stuff that he's doing. He wants to do something with you and in you. That's a relationship. What is God asking you to leave behind so that you can step in to what he's prepared for you. Are you ready to leave your fear? Your comfort zone? Your need for control? Whatever it is, God isn't just there to harm you. He's not there to harm you. He wants to bless you. This isn't a prosperity gospel here either. If you act in obedience to what he says, he will bless you. It might not come the way that you think it's going to come, but he's going to do some miracles in your life that you never thought possible. Wow. We're going to talk about this. All the little altars in my life that I was able to build because of what God did. Your faith isn't proven by what you can see. It's proven by your willingness to step out when you can't see. It's like the wind. We know the wind. We see the, or we don't see the wind. We hear the wind. We see the effects when it goes through the trees and shakes the trees. We see it make waves in the water. We know it's there, but we don't see it. That's like faith. Abram's journey shows us this. The blessing isn't waiting in the familiar. It's waiting in the unknown. Will you trust God enough to take that next step? The road is dark. It is unknown. It is uncomfortable. But the promise is for sure, is yes and amen. But in order to act out on faith, sometimes faith in the face of fear is where we stand. We have the faith, but the fear of that keeps us from taking that step. But in here it says, go into the country. Go from here, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. Abram's journey wasn't this smooth. It wasn't a smooth, fearless march into the wilderness. He wasn't walking in faith. I mean, think about it. This Abram is 75 years old. His wife couldn't bear any kids. His nephew Lot probably came with more baggage than a Black Friday sale. Because we know where he ended up, right? What city he ended up in. We'll just say it was Sin City. Lot and all of his problems. And then here's the kicker. God says, go. But didn't say where he was going. Fear had to be in the room that day when Abram heard this. And I'll say it again because I've been through it. I now have to convince my wife that I'm hearing from God. She's going, yep. I had an illustration here, but I like this one better. I remember back home, there was some an Amtrak that drove over a river, and we used to take our dirt bikes out there and ride around and stuff. And we parked the bikes, and you know we're swimming in the creek and all that because it's hot. And we get up there, we go up there, and we're like, man, that's good. It feels like it's deep. We're swimming around, it feels pretty deep. Can barely touch the bottom. So we climb up, I'm talking 50, 60 feet in there. And I like jumping off diving boards. I like doing all that extreme stuff. And we're standing up there and we're like, my buddies were like, who's going first? They're looking at me because I'm the crazy one. I'm always the one who jumps off the bridge first. But it's a saying, if your friend jumps off the bridge, yeah, that's how it works. It really does. But I couldn't find enough. I was fearful. I was like, there's a bunch of unknown there. And this other kid, younger than us, gets up there. He goes, oh, yeah, you can jump off there. And he just goes up there and just jumps. 50 to 60 feet in the air. It's high. And he jumps off and he lands in the water and he's going, come on, I told you guys it was safe. We put our trust in a stranger in that moment. I put my trust in a kid I just met 10 minutes ago and I jumped off a 50-foot bridge into the water. And it was amazing. I'm still here today. But we put our faith in blind things all the time. We trust the guy driving down the street that he's going to turn his turn signal on when he makes the left-hand turn. We trust the people who make our food. We have blind faith all the time, but when God says something, we don't want to act on it. But that kid just standing down there watching him jump in the water, saying, come on, I told you it was safe. You can do it. And we jumped off, and we all jumped off. And we liked it so much that we used to go there like every weekend and jump off this bridge because it was so scary and so fun. But we put our blind faith into a person we didn't even know. And we can't even find ourselves putting our faith in the person who died for us. If that wasn't real enough, Abram went through the same stuff. Abram's call was just like that moment. It was a decision to trust the voice of God over the voice of fear. The difference was Abraham wasn't jumping into uncertainty. He was jumping into God's faithfulness. He was trusting in God, that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. I'm glad I get to worship a God who does not renege on his decisions about me or anybody else. And so when he does not change his mind, he doesn't pull it back in and say, you know what, I've changed my mind. We're not going to do this no more. He does not change. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's trusting the one who called you is already in the water with you, ready to catch you. Abraham didn't just have all the answers, but he had that promise. He had that promise. And for him, that was enough. Let's unpack this for a minute. Abram had every reason to stay. The unknown is scary. The familiar is comfortable. Yet God was asking Abraham to leave what was familiar to step into what was foundational. God wasn't just moving Abram geographically. He was moving him spiritually. It wasn't just, I'm going to move you to another place. He says, no, this is for your spiritual growth and trust. Here's the tension. Faith always confronts fear. Faith will always confront your fear. Fear says, stay where it's safe. Faith says, step into the sacred. Fear says, what if it doesn't work out? Faith says, what if God's plan is bigger than you could ever possibly imagine? Faith isn't about knowing what's next. It's about trusting who is next. Abram didn't know the land. He didn't know the land, but he knew the Lord. And sometimes God won't show you the whole plan because he's showing you his presence. Think about it. When everything is going okay, you don't find yourself on the floor face down worshiping God. When life falls apart, you find yourself on the floor face down in his presence. What fear is holding you back from stepping into God's purpose? Is it the fear of failure, the fear of what people might think? Let's tackle this here for a minute. Feel of failure. I got it like this. You feel called to start a ministry, lead a small group, or pursue a new career path that aligns with God's purpose. We've all had jobs, right, that does not fall in God's purpose. his plan of what it could be, but you want to find yourself, you want to work for a nonprofit or, you know, something like that. But you hesitate because you're afraid of making a mistake or not being good enough. Fear whispers, what if you try and fail? God says in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise right there. You be strong and courageous. And he says, God will be with you wherever you go. That's the promise. Maybe it's fear of inadequacy. You feel unqualified to step into leadership role, serve in a ministry, or mentor somebody in their faith. Fear convinces you you're not enough. But God reminds us in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We all fall into this one. Fear what people might think. You feel led to share your faith with a coworker. You speak up about your beliefs. You make a bold decision to live differently than the rest of the world. But you're worried about being judged, misunderstood, or rejected. Fear tells you they think you're foolish. Fear would say, if I change the way I am because God is calling me to something better, who will I be if I change, and what will people think about me if I change? What does that look like? Unknown. But Galatians 1:10, Paul reminds us, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of God. I'm a people pleaser. That one gets me every time. God isn't asking you to erase your fear. He's asking you to trust him through that fear. God's promise doesn't always eliminate your fear, but they will always outweigh it. So today, make a choice that Abram made. Step into the unknown. You might not see the whole path, but you can trust the one who's lighting the way for you. Fear might be in that car with you, but faith is driving. Let's move forward, not because we know what's next, but because we know the perfecter of our faith. We know who is the perfecter of our faith. Our lives should look an example of faith. Our whole salvation is because of our faith, because we cannot earn it and we don't deserve it. Put your faith in Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe that he died and he rose from the dead and you will be saved. It's a faith thing. Let me paint a picture for you. Abram's on the move. He's wandering through Canaan with no solid address. We were there for a little bit, right? We're just now getting our mail from back in Illinois recently. We have no fixed destination and nothing but the promise from God. He's running all of this by a promise of God. And what does he do? He stops and starts building altars. Because sometimes before we see the fulfillment of God's promise, we've got to mark the moment that he spoke to us. I've taught men in the past, the moment something changes in your life and it's moving you towards Christ, plant a white flag right there. A surrender flag. Today I surrender this to God. I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to keep planting these flags as I keep going. Think of those as those altars like Abraham. And these altars Abraham built weren't just piles of rocks. They were declarations of trust. They were Abram saying, God, I'm still holding on to your word, even though I can't see how it's all going to work out. Think about the last concert you went to. Or a concert that you went to. Maybe not the last one. Maybe it was a life-changing event. An experience that you never want to forget. It was your favorite artist, your favorite songs, the energy of the crowd at the concert. You probably even kept the ticket. Right? I kept my tickets. Why? Because that little piece of paper reminded me of something that was unforgettable. It was something tangible to remind me of a moment that I had an experience that I didn't want to forget. Abram's altars were like that ticket stub. Every time he stopped to build one, he was saying, this is the spot where God spoke. This is the place where God reminded me of his promise, and I don't want to forget it. But here's where we can go a little bit deeper with this. Genesis 12:7 says, the Lord appears to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Notice what happens here. God speaks, Abraham responds. God promises, Abraham builds. The altar wasn't just a monument, it was a conversation with God. It was about Abram's way of saying, I'm not just traveling through the land, I'm claiming it by faith because you said it's mine. Maybe you need to do that in some areas of your life today. I'm not just traveling through this land, I'm claiming it by faith because you said it's mine. We can't claim those promises of God if we don't get in our word, if we don't have relationship with Jesus, if we ain't praying, if we ain't talking to him. I'm not talking on the side of the bed at night yet, so that's good, but through your daily interactions, as you're walking, as you are going, you're having conversation with God, like, man, God, that person looks like they're struggling. Will you give me, take away the fear and give me the strength to go over there and talk to that person and pray with that person? Claim it. I wrote it down like this. Sometimes you have to look back to see how far God has brought you to believe he'll take you where he promised. Now, don't get caught in the past. The good things that God does back here in the past, he's not going to replicate in the future. That's scary. I'm going to unpack that for a minute. What Jesus did, he went around and healed people from their blindness. He didn't heal people the same way every single time. He did something different every time he healed somebody's blindness. He never does the same thing the same way. We remember and honor the things of our past and what God has done, but then we say, God, I want you to do what you did here for this family, for this marriage. I want to see you. I pray that you do it again over here in this family, in this marriage. I know it's going to look different, but I'm trusted because I've seen you do it before. But he's not going to do it the same way. Maybe he's going to use you this time to make a difference in a family, in a marriage. The altars weren't just about the past. They were fuel for the future. Every time Abram saw one, it reminded him God was faithful there, and he's going to be faithful again. What are the altars that you're building in your life? Maybe it's a journal where you wrote down some prayers to God, and he answered them, and you can go back and be like, man, look at where God answered that prayer. Maybe it's the photograph of a time when you felt God's presence in a powerful way. Maybe it's a verse that you've underlined in the Bible during a dark moment in your life, and you go back to it, and it gives you encouragement again today. Those are little altars in your life. Whatever it is, those are your markers. Those are my flags. Today I'm not going to do this. God does a bunch of work on me. Another thing happens. Plant another flag. My goal is to keep moving this way and not go back to those flags. Remember them, but not fall back into them. Take some time throughout this week to build altars. And I'm not talking with rocks, like I seen up on the hill over here the other day. All those little pyramid rocks that people like to build. They're called something, I forget. But with your heart. It starts in the heart. Mark the moment where God showed up, because those memories will give you faith to keep you moving forward. Abram didn't know how the journey would end, but he knew the promise that God had given him. And that was enough for Abram. God's faithfulness in our imperfection. I am going to read this quick, because we're going to go into Genesis 12, 10 through 20. Next part of the section, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he had his wife Sarah." And it says, "I know what a beautiful woman you are." Husbands, you need to be telling that to your wife. Daily. "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister." He's saying this to his wife, Sarah. He says, "Say that you're my sister so that I will be treated well for the sake of my life. My life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a beautiful woman. And when the Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to the Pharaoh. And she was taken into the palace. He treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle and male and female donkeys, male and female servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she was your sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." The Pharaoh gave orders to Abram, to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. That's a lot of scripture there. Abram's story, this part of his story, is not the one you're going to find in the classroom with the kids. Abram was not perfect. Get it? When famine hit, Abram panics and heads to Egypt. And then he makes a questionable decision, telling Sarah to pretend that she's his sister so Pharaoh wouldn't kill him. This is Abram, our father of faith, a patriarch. He's straight up lying to save himself. He is straight up lying to save himself. But here's the part you need to hear. God didn't cancel his promise. God doesn't say, "Well, Abram, you blew it. I'm going to find somebody else." No, God steps in, he protects Sarah, he protects the promise, he provides once again that his faithfulness doesn't depend on our perfection. Sometimes we have fear to step out in faith because we think that we've blown it. I can tell you personally that every time I blow it, God fixes it. His faithfulness doesn't depend on our perfection. Your mistakes don't disqualify you from God's promise. God's faithfulness isn't contingent on your perfection. It's rooted in his character and in his promises. Think of an IKEA piece of furniture. The whole 1,000+ pieces. And hours of assembly. You get working on this thing, and somewhere along the way, you missed a step. Now it looks like a wobbly science experiment. Yeah, you're laughing because you're that person. And you're ready to throw in the towel, and you notice something in the instructions. It's a way to correct the issue. Yeah, it might take a little bit longer. You might have to take a piece off and take a piece off to put this the right piece in place. But the final product is always still achieved, even in the mistake. God's grace for you works just like that. Even when we miss a step, when we mess up, skip ahead, or try to do things on our own, he doesn't just throw us away and leave us with the mess that we just made or the mess that we can't fix. His instructions always include a way forward, a path to restoration. The entire Bible from beginning to end is God restoring people back to himself. He's restoring a broken world. He's restoring broken hearts. That's what he does. That is the business of God, is to restore. Your detour is not your destiny. Just like that IKEA furniture would eventually come together in your life, it is all with mistakes and all the wrong turns can still fulfill God's purpose and his design he has for you. Abram's misstep in Egypt didn't cancel the promise. And your misstep will not either. God's faithfulness ensures that the final product will still reflect his perfect plan in your life. This is where Abram's story points to the gospel. We can't get up here and preach without having Jesus all up in the preaching. Just like Abram couldn't earn God's promise, you can't earn your salvation. Just like Abram couldn't earn God's promise, you can't earn your salvation. Why? Because Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. God's promises aren't a reward for your perfection. They're not rewards for your perfection. They're a reflection of his grace, his love. Abram's faith journey, with all of its ups and downs, foreshadows the grace we receive through Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. I shouldn't say that. I hope I've been speaking truth to you the entire time. Here's the fact. How about that? You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. But grace and forgiveness trumps all of it. Just as God forgave Abram for lying about his wife so he wouldn't die, God's grace covers it. You're going to have moments when your fear gets the best of you. When you make decisions you wish you could take back. Said things that you wish you could take back. Did things that you wish you could take back. But the good news is that God's promise doesn't depend on your perfection. They depend on his unchanging faithfulness. God's grace doesn't just cover your mistakes. They become part of his plan. Let that one sink in. He's not going to take your perfection to be a testimony because that glorifies you. He wants to take your mistakes, turn them around so that you give glory to him. He doesn't use our perfection. He uses our mistakes. So if you're here today and you're feeling like you've blown it, I hope that Abram's story reminds you that God is not done with you yet. Abram's story goes on for years and years and years and years. The same God who stayed faithful to Abram in Egypt is staying faithful to you right now. Your detour is not the end of the road. It's that recalculating. You had to have been here last 2 weeks. It's that GPS that's not screaming at you. It's saying recalculating when you go the wrong way. So taking the right next step. So Abram went and the Lord told him. Now let's not miss this huge moment. Abram didn't have a map. He didn't have a timeline. All he had was a word from God. Go. He says, go. And what did he do? So Abram went. Simple obedience. No debates. No spreadsheets. No praying for 6 months. He just moved. We make obedience complicated. Because we want the whole picture before we take the first step. But God's purpose, God's call rarely comes with a map. Why? Because faith isn't about seeing the whole journey yet. It's about trusting the one who's leading it. Get this. The blessing usually comes in the breaking. The breaking of your fear. The breaking of your overthinking. Breaking free from the need to know everything before you do anything. Some people are so locked in fear and they can never take the first step because of that. They can never move forward because they can never take the step forward. So here's my question to you. What is your next step? Maybe it's starting a ministry. Maybe God's been nudging you about doing something. Maybe it's ending a relationship that's pulling you away from him. Maybe it's forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it. Whatever it is, God says, trust me enough to move. Abram's obedience is a powerful picture of what the gospel does in us. Genesis 12:4 shows us that faith is not passive. We don't sit on the sidelines just waiting. It's active. It's not about sitting back and waiting. It's about moving forward. God's promise is worth the risk. I can tell you, stand here today and say, God's promise is worth the risk. Abram's story teaches us this. Faith isn't about having all the answers. It's about trusting the God who does. Maybe you're here today and you're standing on the edge of the unknown like Abram. You don't see the whole picture. You don't know how it will work out. But here's what you do know. The same God who called Abram is calling you. And his faithfulness never wavers. So what's the next right thing God is asking you to do? Is it stepping into a new chapter? Letting go of an old one? An old relationship? Is it making that phone call? Is it saying that prayer? Or finally just trusting him with your whole heart? Take the step. Move forward, because God, who lit the path for Abraham, will light the path for you too. So today, don't leave here without taking a step. A step of faith. Whatever it is, trust God's got it. Trust that he's in the unknown. And he's working everything together for your good. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for being the God who sees the whole picture. Even when we don't know where the road leads, we trust you. Help us to trust you more. We know and we hear that your faith will show us, reveal to us the faithfulness. Help us to stop overthinking everything and start obeying. Help us and show us the next right step. May our faith be like Abram's. May when we hear your voice, we hear it loud and clear and we step out in faith, no matter what distractions try to prevent us from stepping into what you have. Allow our hearts to be anchored in your promises. Help us to build these altars of remembrance as we move forward in confidence, knowing that you'll never leave us. Father, if there's somebody in this room today who needs some faith to step out and just trust you as their Savior, that you would shower them in grace, you would forgive them of their sins, and they would get to start a new life and a new journey in their faith. With every head bowed, every eye shut, I do this every week because we never know who's going to walk through those doors that might need salvation before they leave this building. There's nothing I can say or do. It's a relationship with you and God. But if you're looking for something new in your life and you want to step out in faith knowing that God has promises for you and you're ready to take hold of them and claim them, just raise your hand today, please. Nobody's looking. Not trying to call you out. We're not going to call you out. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Don't let the moment pass. If you're looking for a new kind of faith and a faith that it can only come from Jesus, your life will be transformed. It will be changed. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. God's got a plan and a purpose. Will we set the fear aside and allow him to do what he wants to do, because it's so much better than what we want? I'm going to make it simple. Say, Father, we come before you looking for forgiveness, seeking life change. God, we put our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Work in our hearts. Give us an unshakable faith. And thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Let's give we had a couple people raise their hand in here. There is celebration in heaven for those who raise their hand. If you want to talk to somebody about it, Vinette will be out here in the hallway. I'll be wandering around here. Please stay. We got lots of food. I thought this was going to be a short sermon, but it wasn't. But it's great, right? Yeah. Is it good? Good. I hope you've been challenged. Come back next week because Joseph's story is amazing too. Remember this Thursday, if this is home, you call this place home. Be here Thursday. Dr. Sam's going to be here. You're going to love him. He's a great man of God. And we are going to, I'm not going to say nothing. We're going to let him come and speak to our church because God has a plan and a future for New Hope Church. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. I'm excited. Let me say it that way. I'm excited. God is good. So again, next week, God is good all the time. The big idea next week is Joseph remains a faithful man of integrity, even in difficult, overwhelming circumstances. Love you guys. Get some food. God bless.